Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening and spending it with me here. Hopefully, we're going to give you some really great strategies to really create some big impact in your life, and hopefully make those things be able to sort of engage differently, we'll say, as it pertains to, you know, optimal health and well-being in regards to eating, nutrition, as well as exercise and movement practices. You know, whether you're an athlete and you're ready to take it to the next level, or you're just somebody, you know, wanting to get in shape again, or maybe you're on that side of I'm really unhealthy and I have to make some life changes. The principles we'll be kind of going over on today's call are going to help you kind of no matter where you are in that range. And for those of you who are on these calls regularly with me, thank you very much for being here as well. As you notice, quarterly we're doing these kind of free calls just to give an opportunity for people to, you know, check out what we're doing and get some really great coaching for themselves and some tools to better their life. And so, you know, as we think about health and well-being, we think about nutrition. You know, last week I gave a program in Kansas City on physical mastery, and we'll be doing physical mastery here in Denver. So it's definitely inside of the theme that we've been focusing on as of recently. And, you know, when we think of getting in shape, you know, the first place many people's mind go is like, you know, I'm going to diet and I'm going to exercise. And what I find is they typically a lot of times take action with no vision. And that's why a majority of the time when we set out to get in great shape or we set out to eat better or take better care of ourselves, many times we typically fail, is because the why is not in place. Why am I doing this in the first place? And oftentimes it shows up for us as, you know, the reason I'm doing it is because it's a good thing to do. I know I should do it. I know if I do it, I'll feel better. And it sort of shows up for us on the list almost more like a chore or something I need to do rather than showing up for us as something I really get to do. You know, as I say all the time, you know, sometimes it's really difficult and challenging, it may seem, to get ourselves to, say, eat healthy, to eat nutrition that's really going to create vibrant health and well-being. But it is not difficult to find time for vacation. And so, as I said, you know, if I were to, you know, offer a free trip to you right now, and I said, you know what, I am going to give you an all-expense-paid vacation anywhere you would like to go. You want to go to Hawaii, you want to go to Fiji, you want to go check out Paris, you know, it's up to you. And you just have to find 4 days in your schedule to take this trip, and I will pay for everything. Whatever you want to do, it's on me. I guarantee that you'll find those 4 days. You'll quit your job if you have to create those 4 days to take that all expense paid trip, right? And so the reason that it's easy to go take the vacation or get the massage or, you know, do some of these activities is because it shows up as something that we like to do. When we think about them, we feel passionate about them. We feel joy inside. We have this sense like it's going to be so much fun. And the things that we have resistance to doing, the things that are a little more challenging to get ourselves to take action inside of, are the things that line up for us as not as much fun. And so what our focus is going to be on this evening's work together is really to train or to teach you how to train your mind, how to train your emotions to relate to anything that you choose as this is going to be really fun. Oh, my gosh, I get to do this. And I know that may sound like a tall order, and you might be going, Joey, you know, I've been up to trying to diet and exercise and lose weight now for, you know, 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or whatever it is. And the last thing that shows up for me is that this is going to be fun. And so, you know, what I say is great. I'm so happy that you're here because you're going to learn how to make that happen for yourself. And if we can't make it fun, we can't make it enjoyable, we can at least create the emotional space within ourselves and using certain, you know, science and certain technology, certain strategies that we're going to get into here. This is going to be a very interactive process through the next 50 minutes or so that we're going to spend together. And I'm going to have you doing the work as we go along. It's not just going to be a space of me talking at you and speaking theory. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be a working process that you'll get inside of for yourself so that you absolutely will know for yourself that at the end of our work today, if you choose, you'll be able to execute this on your own and really empower yourself and become self-reliant and be able to motivate yourself to take the actions that you choose. And the principles that we're going to cover, although our focus is going to be, you know, nutrition and exercise, same principles will apply to different activities, different things in life you might like to try to get yourself to take action inside of that you want to motivate yourself to. And so the first key there, the first step is in training is to identify, hey, what's there currently, right? What do I feel currently? And it's really easy to check in. You know, all you have to do is think about the activity, and a state and experience and emotion and expression will be there. And so, you know, if we think of movement, you think of what many people call exercise, I want you to take a moment and think about an activity that you don't enjoy so much. And it doesn't have to show up as exercise right now. Just any movement activity that lines up for you as, I don't like to do that as much. Okay? And for some of us, it might look like, Joey, I hate to do any kind of movement. Okay? I don't care to move my body at all. And some of us, it's like, you know, I really like to dance, and I really like to run. I like to lift weights. I really don't like to stretch. I don't like to do yoga, or vice versa, right? We have these ideas in our mind about the things we like and the things we don't like. And so right now, I'd like you to just focus on an activity that you don't like doing as much and make it inside of movement for now. So a movement-based activity that you would rather not do. You might force yourself to do it on occasion because you think it's really good for you, or somebody might drag you into it, but it's not something that shows up for you that I really like to do it. And pick something that you have, we'll call it the most resistance to, just to kind of check into getting our emotional barometer, we'll say, set here. And so think about that activity. You know, when I was training in martial arts, I trained every year for 20 years, and I still train today. And, you know, in martial arts, one of the things that I did to help my performance was I lifted weights in a very specific way to help, you know, create explosive power. And I lifted twice a week to create explosive power. And when I first started lifting weights, it was like I had to force myself to do that particular movement activity, that particular exercise, that way of exercising. And it showed up for me as, I hate to do this, I don't like it, I don't enjoy lifting weights. There was this story there, and it's boring, and I had all these thoughts about it. And you know, at the time, I didn't understand where it came from or how to retrain myself inside of showing up with lifting weights and it becoming an enjoyable process or something that I get to do. And we're going to talk about how I made that change. But initially, it showed up as, I just hate to do that activity. So think about the activity for a moment that maybe shows up very strong for you, like, I really hate to do it, or I just have a strong dislike for it, or I prefer not to do it, whatever it is. And focus on that activity for a moment. Think about doing it. Think about running. Thinking about whatever that is that you don't enjoy for yourself. Maybe it is dancing for you. And as you think about that movement exercise, that movement activity, or that exercise, we could call it, pay attention to how you feel. So like I just shared, when I thought about lifting weights, I just hated it. It was boring, and I had all these stories. And the you know, feeling that came up for me was bored, was a sense of resistance, angry sometimes that I had to do it to compete and perform well. And there was all these experiences inside. So define how it feels thinking about doing that activity. And then just name the emotion. The emotion is resistance. The emotion is anger. The emotion is bored. And then maybe there's some stories that go along with it, like the ones I just shared, right? I hate this. I don't want to do it. This is a waste of my time. It's so repetitive, whatever it might be. And now take a moment and see if you can go into your past and remember a time when you felt that way as it related to that experience. And see if a memory comes up, right? We're going to kind of go into the archive of the mind. The amygdala in the mind, it's the photograph of the mind, it's the photographer of the mind. And whenever we have an intense or strong emotional experience, that photographer called the amygdala, it takes a picture. And it remembers the colors around us, it remembers the people, it remembers the things that we were doing, it remembers the smell in the air, it remembers if it was night or day. It remembers as much detail about those moments of experience in our life as possible, so that it can make a better life possible for us. And so if it's a fear-based emotion, such as sad or anger, resentment, etc., you know, the amygdala takes a snapshot of those memories, those moments in our life, and archives them in our unconscious mind so that we avoid those painful experiences in the future. And then the amygdala takes snapshots of love-based emotions in our life so that it gravitates to more of those experiences. You know, because if we were in nature, pain usually meant that we weren't doing well, right? We were starving or we were dying. And pleasurable sensations meant that we were, you know, we had plenty of food and that we were healthy and we were vibrant. And so that biological mechanism still sort of works the same way. And so we're just going to check out, hey, what photograph has your amygdala taken, and what associations or what connections has it established to that activity? What patterns show up in relationship to that activity? And so, you know, if I think about weightlifting, and I think back to my earliest experience weightlifting and when I felt that way, when I felt bored, when I felt like I didn't want to do it, when I felt angry, you know, it's like I would go to high school. And, you know, when I was in high school, my freshman year of high school, I weighed 98 pounds. I didn't break 100 pounds in high school until the end of my freshman year, almost my sophomore year. And so I was a very, very, you know, very small compared to everybody else. And I remember, you know, we could take weightlifting class as our PE credit or our phys ed credit at that time. And I was the smallest guy in the gym. And, you know, these guys next to me, they're football players and whatever, they're, you know, varsity players, and they're lifting, you know, two plates, right? They're lifting over like 225 pounds, 250 pounds, 270 pounds. And, you know, here I am struggling with my like 85 pounds, right? And I remember just feeling so embarrassed, and I felt angry because I was so small. And I had all these emotions that I would experience, you know, three times a week when I would go to my weightlifting class. And so the amygdala took a snapshot of that emotion, and because the activity I happened to be up to at the time was weightlifting, it connected those things together. And so all of a sudden, you know, here I am, you know, 15 years later, and I'm training for my next world championship, and I'm, you know, going to lift weights to help create explosive power, and I can't help but feel that way when I go to lift weights, because as far as my neurology is concerned, I'm back in high school lifting weights. Because that's when the snapshot was taken. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's just how it occurred. And so see if you can come up with a similar relationship for yourself. So as you look at that activity, right, that movement activity that you don't like to do so much, go back in time, you know, kind of go through your life and see if there's a memory that shows up for you that associates that activity to feeling in a certain way. Right, and so the other thing that I used to hate to do was run, and when I would think about running, you know, I would just you know, kind of feel the same sort of experience, like oh, do I have to do it? I don't want to do it, and I'd feel this sense of almost like sadness as it pertained to running. And then, you know, when I think back to, again, I go back to middle school now, and I think to, you know, track and field, and you know, I remember, you know, wanting to be as fast as everybody else. But again, I was a little bit smaller, so I was a little bit slower than most people, and so I didn't qualify for events. And, you know, so I tied running to feeling kind of like a failure at that time. And it ended up serving me in a way because, you know, I was the smallest guy, and, you know, I had two older brothers. They picked on me all the time. And so, you know, I decided to push myself harder than anybody else, and that's part of why I grew, you know, as strong as I did and as capable as I did, et cetera. And so it ended up, you know, working to my benefit, but a lot of times it doesn't pan out that way. And so let's look at that activity and just go back in your life and see if, you know, hey, when I felt that way and I was doing that activity, you know, when did that happen in my life? Can I remember maybe a time from childhood, maybe something from middle school, high school, teenage years, maybe adulthood? You know, what comes up for you there, right? That activity, what comes up? The activity, how do I feel, what memory in the past, and see if something comes up for you there. And I'm just going to give you another 5-10 seconds to just define the movement that you have resistance to doing, whatever it might be, and then tune into the feeling, how do I feel as it pertains to that activity. So when I think about running, jumping, swimming, what's the emotion that's present? And then see if there's a memory in the past that seems to have connected that feeling with that activity. just so we get a sense of kind of how this works, okay? And then let's play, again, creating our emotional barometer, you know, creating awareness here. If we don't know what's happening or what's actually driving us, we can't change it. Many people, they think they make rational choices. And the reality is nobody makes rational choices. We all make emotionally based decisions. Now, the key, though, is that many of us are not connected to or sensitive to the emotion that we're feeling in the moment that we take action. And so many of us, we've heard this term, as we say, you know, emotional eating. And what does that mean? And sure, we kind of get that sense of, you know, I feel bad, and so I eat something. It's kind of soothing for me. But, you know, when I work with people, and I work with them on creating optimal nutrition for themselves, regardless of what their goals or their outcomes may be that they want to attain, we start to pay attention to, hey, here's a food and here's an emotion. And quite literally, we emotionally eat. So if I've tied joy to a particular food, I'll eat that food when I feel sad. And same thing, when I eat a certain kind of food, I'll literally feel sad for a particular reason. And we'll get to that next, but you know, just to kind of highlight what it means by way of, you know, emotion is present and we take action based on that feeling, which we're gonna show you here in a little bit. We're just starting the basics here, creating awareness and sensitivity to how we feel when we take action. In this case, we're looking at physical activity. We're looking at movement. And so now let's go to the other side of the spectrum. Think of an activity that you really enjoy doing, a physical movement, a physical activity that you really like to do. And it might be dancing. It might be running. It might be jumping. It might be gymnastics. It might be yoga. It might be martial arts. I don't know what it is for you, but think of a physical activity now. Just pick one. Pick your favorite thing to do, your favorite activity, and pay attention to how you feel when you think about yourself doing that activity. When you think about doing that activity or getting to do that activity, how do you feel? It's a bright, sunny day up here in Vail, Colorado, where I'm at, and you know, I'm just so excited because when I wrap up this call with you guys, you know, I'm thinking to hop on my road bike and go for a little bit of a ride through the hills, through the mountains. I'm very excited about that. You know, thinking about that, you know, I feel passionate, I feel excited. I get a sense of exhilaration just by way of thinking about riding the bike through the mountains. And so, you know, think about that activity that you enjoy doing, and when you think about that activity, how do you feel? And then name the emotion. And if you're not great at articulating the exact feeling that's there, just sort of define, hey, is it a love-based expansive feeling or is it a fear-based contracting feeling? It's not important that you name it or you call it, hey, this is sadness, this is joy, this is happiness, this is guilt or whatever. What is important is, hey, I get the sensation that I'm feeling, I'm sort of in tune to it, and I'm aware it's either contracting and fear-based or expanding and love-based. And so as long as you can diagnose, discern, is it love-based or fear-based, it's all that's really important, and to feel the sensation that's present. And so the activity I love to do, how do I feel? And then same thing, let's go back now and see where that amygdala took a photograph, took a picture for you, and what memory has been stored in your hard drive of your brain, we'll say. And let's look back now to the past and see if it connects to some memory as you were doing that activity. You know, when I think about martial arts, part of why, you know, I've been up to that for 21 years now and been constantly training in it in some way is because of how that lined up for me. You know, I can kick and punch and throw and do forms and weapons fight and things all day long, and I don't get tired, and I love the process of doing it. Just thinking about doing martial arts, I get excited, I feel passionate, I feel a sense of connection, I feel joy, and all those things show up for me. And when I think back to my kind of earliest memory there, you know, that was my first sort of real mentor in my life other than my parents. And you know, Dan was his name, and he was my sensei or my teacher at the time. And he really kind of took me under his wing and really showed me a lot of care and attention. And so here I felt, and I was having fun with the friends that I had in class. And so literally martial arts meant having fun with my friends. It meant a deep sense of connection and camaraderie. It meant somebody caring for me, somebody seeing my potential, somebody believing in me. And all of those things were what I would feel when I would do martial arts. And so that's what got linked up for me. That's what kind of got connected for me, just by way of how I was feeling as I engaged that activity over and over again. And then eventually that just became the way my neurology associated martial arts. It meant connection, it meant camaraderie, and meant feeling great, not because of martial arts itself, but because of how I was feeling as I engaged the activity. And so look back and see if you have a similar memory that pops up for you that comes out of your hard drive when you think about that activity of running or yoga or swimming. And maybe you go back to, you know, one of my clients that I was working with in the Physical Mastery Weekend, you know, she said, "Joey, I thought about swimming. And, you know, I remembered having these great times with my mom because she was my swim instructor, and we had so much fun in the pool, and I just couldn't wait to get in the pool with my mom because we had so much fun in the pool, and she would play with me, and she would tell me how great I was doing." And still to this day, you know, she swims laps every day, right? And so it's like, but she never realized that she loved swimming because of that connection that occurred for her and those emotions she was feeling as she swam with her mom in the pool. And so, you know, as we start to identify some of these emotional connections that we create, and we expand our emotional awareness in this way, our emotional intelligence in this way, we could say, then we can say, hey, this is a great connection. You know what? Having this sense of feeling loved and appreciated and swimming, you know, that's a really good connection because it gets me to swim, and it shows up for me as, oh, my God, look how much fun this activity is going to be. So it's like going on vacation. I don't have to get myself to go swimming. I don't have to force myself to do it. I don't have to be disciplined to do it. It's like I get to do it. And so you're going to swim all day long. And same thing. Maybe there's some emotional connections that we might want to shift or change because it might be good for us to do some of those activities and we don't want to struggle through them. And we're going to get to how do we shift these things in a minute. Right now we're in the discovery process. Okay, what emotional connections have we tied to the physical activities in our life? Because ultimately that's determining whether or not we're up to those things and how consistently we're going to be at them. It's an emotional game. It's not as much, you know, the game of knowing what to do. You know, you can go on websites and, you know, you can do a Google search and you can find a ton of information out there about, you know, great healthy eating strategies and ways to work out and get in phenomenal shape. But if we can't motivate ourselves to action and motivate ourselves to action in a way that it shows up for us as, oh my God, I get to do this thing, you know, we're not going to know sustainable success. And so for me, I want to work with each of you and really give you the strategies on, hey, how can I motivate myself to take action and really love the process? Because then you're going to know sustainable success. You're going to know long-term success. It'll become a lifestyle change for you rather than just a quote-unquote diet. And so once again, just sort of tune in. What was the physical activity that I like to do? How do I feel when I think about doing that activity? What memories show up for me? And then tune in once again. What's a physical activity that I don't like to do so much? How do I feel when I think about that activity? And what memories show up? And just sort of take that assessment right now. Okay? And then we're going to do the same thing, and we're going to go to food now. And so think about a food item that you really dislike. Right? Maybe it's like when I say to you, you know, what's a food item that you dislike, that you don't care for, that you don't want to eat? And just name what that item is. And it might show up for you, and it might go broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Maybe it shows up as soda. Maybe it shows up as orange juice or lemonade, or I don't know what it is. But, you know, the food item. Think of a food item that you really don't like, you don't enjoy eating. Okay? And then once you name that item, same thing. Pay attention to how you feel. Is there an emotion present? And same thing. Go back to a memory. Right? Same thing. A recent participant in my physical mastery class in Kansas City, you know, it was broccoli. She's like, I hate broccoli. And I think she was a woman maybe in her late 40s, early 50s. She was, I hate broccoli. And I say, okay, well, how do you feel when you think of broccoli? She's like, I feel hate, and I feel angry, and I feel controlled. And I mean, she was really in it. And I was like, wow, broccoli really did something to you, didn't it? And then I said, well, what memory comes up for you? I remember being at the table and my mother forcing me to eat the broccoli, and I had no choice, and I hated the whole process, and she was mad at me. And then she spent the next, you know, 5 minutes talking about her mom and how upset she is with her mother. And then she kind of stopped mid-story, and she goes, wow, I really put a lot on broccoli, haven't I? And I said, yeah, it seems that way. And so, you know, check in, right? Sure, we might say, hey, I just don't like the taste. But go beyond that, okay? Some things we just may not, you know, be accustomed to, and we may not like the taste, and that may be there. But let's look a little bit deeper, okay? And go to the place of how do I feel, and then let's play with that, and let's go back. Okay, what memory is present? Because remember, emotion is what has the amygdala take the picture, and that's what stores the memories, and that's what creates connections and ultimately defines the action that we take. And so we might think we're not eating broccoli simply because I don't like the taste, but we're actually not eating it because every time we eat broccoli, we think about how our mother was controlling us. And even though it's not a conscious action, right, it's not like I'm sitting down to have a plate of broccoli and I go to eat that broccoli and I'm like, God, I hate my mom, right? That's not going on consciously. How it shows up for us, you know, on a conscious level is I just don't like broccoli. I don't like it. I just don't like the taste. I don't like the way it feels in my body. I just don't like broccoli. That's how it'll typically show up. But in the unconscious, what's going on, you know, as I just shared with you, is actually, oh, I hate mom. Okay? So all of a sudden, it's like, you know, not eating broccoli means freedom or something like this. It's an expression of my will or something like that is going on for us, and we don't even realize why we feel good by way of not eating the thing, right? And so just play with that. Name the food. How do I feel? And then go back and just kind of pick a memory from the past and just see where it takes you. See what happens to surface or come up. And then on the other side of things, do it with the other food, right? Something I really enjoy, right? A food that I really like. And name what that food is. It might be apples. It might be oranges. It might be chocolate. It might be cake. It might be ice cream. I don't know what it is for you, but pick the food. And then pay attention to how you feel emotionally. And then go back and see if you can find a memory. So a food you really like, right? Your favorite food item, we'll say. And think about that food item and then connect. Hey, how do I feel? Wow, you know, when I think of ice cream, I feel happy. And then maybe you go back to a memory and you go, wow, you know what? I realize that, you know, whenever I did a really good job, my dad would take me for ice cream. And then, you know, we would celebrate the great thing that I did, and we would laugh, and we would joke together, and we would eat ice cream with one another. And so that ice cream meant love from my father. And so now today, I didn't realize it until this moment, but, wow, you know what? Today, when I'm feeling a little sad or I feel a little sorry for myself, and I want to feel like I'm a good person, I'm doing a good job, I eat ice cream. And so, yes, there's that physiological effect, right, that when we eat ice cream, there's a chemical reaction that goes on in our body, and we're like, oh, my God, sugar, this is wonderful. Yes, that's a part of it. But the reason we go for it is not actually the chemical reaction. It's the emotional connection that we've tied to it. That's where the true power lies. That's where the real potential is to create radical transformation that can happen instantly for ourselves and sustain over time. And so connect. What's that food that I really enjoy? How do I feel emotionally when I think of that food, regardless of what the food item is, and then go back to a memory, right, and see what lines up for you. You know, a great way to think about this also, you know, I remember when I first drank alcohol, you know, and this is a great example because, you know, when you first drink alcohol, there's very few people that took the drink and they loved it. Okay, you know, I remember when I was like a small kid and I like would, you know, sneak a sip of my parents' beverage, you know, beer or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, that's disgusting. And I remember saying to my dad, like, why do you drink that? This stuff is horrible, right? And then I remember, you know, I go back to, you know, college or you know, my later years in high school, and I remember the first time I drank, it was vodka. And it was very cheap vodka, of course. And I remember my friends were older and, you know, my peer group I was with was older and I kind of admired them and I looked up to them and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we were down in the basement of my friend's house and they poured shots of vodka, this cheap vodka. and we all took the shot. And like after they took the shot, you know, they were cheering and they high-fived each other and, you know, they were yelling and, you know, it seemed like they were having a great time. Me, inside, I was doing my best not to vomit all over the place. I almost, you know, just lost it, threw up everywhere. And I remember I tightened my stomach really tight so I didn't throw up and embarrass myself. And then, you know, after I kind of recovered from the shock of this experience, you know, I was right there with them and I high-fived and acted like it was a great experience. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, even though my body was having this visceral reaction and saying, don't do this to me, I was basically telling my body to, you know, just shut the hell up. I'm going to do this thing anyway because I want to have fun with my friends. And you know what? By the end of the night, all of a sudden, you know, drinking was fun. Drinking was adventure. Drinking was being accepted. And all of a sudden, it's like I acquired, as we hear that, right? I acquired a taste for it. It's not that you acquired a taste for it. You know, you were in a situation time and time again where you felt great emotionally, and then that happened to be the activity you were engaging. And so what got tied together was feeling love, feeling connection, feeling camaraderie, you know, feeling powerful, feeling joy, and then that activity. But oftentimes we don't realize that it's happening. And so right now we're just doing an assessment, an emotional assessment, you know, activities, how do I feel, what memory shows up. Food, there's a food item, how do I feel, what memory shows up. And so once we kind of know how the emotions are driving us, now we're ready to start and shift and change them a little bit. And so before we get inside of that, we have to create a very powerful why. We have to create a very, very strong reason to make these emotional shifts and changes and to give our mind, give our brain permission to make the changes on our behalf. And so, you know, when I work with individuals and they like to, you know, lose weight, get in shape, be financed, you know, be super fit or whatever that might look like, you know, the first thing we start with is what is your why? And typically those that have failed trying to diet or trying to exercise or trying to get in great shape in the past is because they didn't have the right why in place. If they had the right why in place, they had the right vision as an outcome in place, they would have been able to get themselves to succeed. And typically, if we don't have that right why in place, we're not able to succeed. And so, you know, I've had lots of friends who have gotten married, you know, throughout the years. And it is amazing to me how they could struggle with their weight, and I'm speaking right now of my women, you know, friends who are women. You know, they might struggle with their weight a little bit throughout the years and you know, try a diet and not stick with it, and then, you know, try to exercise, and they'll do it for a few weeks, and then they'll quit. And, you know, the famous New Year's resolution, they sign up for the gym membership, they go to the gym, and then, you know, by February, they never see the gym again, and then they make donations to the gym for the rest of the year because, you know, that's a very kind thing to do. Very selfless act, right? And it's fun to say we have a gym membership, right? It's almost as good as working out if we say we have a gym membership. It's like, oh yeah, I have a membership in such and such gym and club. It's almost as good as working out just to be able to say I belong to the thing, right? So I guess we're paying for that privilege. And so it's interesting because as soon as they have a reason, right? They have a strong why. They have a strong vision. They have a strong vision they choose to fulfill. Like, I'm going with my friends, and we're going to be on the beach, and I have to wear a bikini. You know, all of a sudden, they eat well, and they exercise like mad, and they will hit their target weight, and they will make sure they're comfortable in the bikini, and then they go on the trip, or their wedding day, right? It's like, hey, I want to look really great in my wedding dress, and so all of a sudden, they will pull out all the stops. They might have to starve themselves or whatever they do, but they're going to fit in that dress. And you know, men do it too. You know, I watch men do it. And they typically do it after they break up with their significant other. And all of a sudden, they want to attract a lady friend. And all of a sudden, it becomes very important to get into good shape and to be attractive to the opposite sex. And so now they're in the gym every day, and they're getting into good shape. And then they get into a relationship. They get comfortable in the relationship, and then they get fat again. And so you might be able to relate to some of those stories where it's like, wow, if you look to a time in your life when you got into great shape and you were in good form, there was an emotion tied to it. There was an emotion tied to that why. There was a strong emotion tied to that outcome. And that emotion was so strong and it was so important to you to fulfill that vision that it simply overrode all the other emotional programming that we just touched into. The problem is it's not sustainable. Once we have the wedding, the motivation is no longer there. After we take our vacation, that strong motivation is no longer there. And unfortunately, it was never a plan for it to be sustainable in the first place if we really look at it. And so if we look at the relationship to dieting as an example, a diet immediately occurs to us as temporary, short-term, and it's to help us lose weight, right? When I ask people, you know, what do you think of when you think of the word diet? They think of those things. It's short-term. It's something to help me lose weight. It's not something I'm going to do the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm probably going to gain weight afterward because that's their experience of it. And most of the quote-unquote diet plans that people go on are not meant to be long-term or a lifestyle change, which is why they typically don't work. And so what I would invite you to do is start to create a vision that's going to have a strong enough why that will motivate what I call a lifestyle change. It's not a diet. Diets don't work. They never will. And if they do work, they're going to work temporarily so that you can create an intention or outcome. But then after that outcome is fulfilled and the goal is met, we go back to where we were. And so, you know, for me, it was interesting. I had a 20-year diet. And that 20-year diet was martial arts, and, you know, I had to compete in tournaments if I wanted to train with my teacher. That was my agreement with him. And so I actually did not want to compete in martial arts events and go to tournaments around the world and things like this. I only did it because I really loved doing martial arts for the reasons I shared with you earlier. And if I wanted to train privately and have that opportunity, the agreement was that I would compete in tournaments. And so I made that agreement. And so it was like I trained because I wanted to perform well in the tournament and I wanted my teacher to be proud. And so it was like, you know, I just happened to do that regularly and consistently for many years. But then when I quit competing in tournaments, I would still work out because it was something I enjoyed, but all of a sudden that beach wasn't there for me. My beach was the tournament. The wedding wasn't there for me. My wedding was competing in the tournament and doing well and winning. And so when I was no longer competing, I still did some physical activities and things I enjoyed on occasion, but I definitely was not disciplined about it the way I was when I was competing for something, for an event. And so I got out of shape for the first time in my life. I got a little fat. And I had to use the techniques and strategies I know to use. I had to drink a little of my own coffee, so to speak, and realign myself in the way that I'm working with you all here so that I could create a sustainable lifestyle of optimal health and well-being and being in great physical shape and it be sustainable. And so the first step to that is I'm not looking for a diet. I'm looking for a lifestyle. And the reason that I'm making this lifestyle change is to fulfill an ultimate goal and vision. And so we want to create a vision as it pertains to three places: benefit now, benefit in the near future, benefit in the long future. And so we want our vision that, you know, the reason, as we say, that we're striving for optimal health and well-being, and we're going to get inside of a new way of nutrition and a new way of movement or exercise by way of using that vision to motivate us. And when I get inside of this with people, most people start with, well, I want to look great in a bathing suit, or I want to attract a partner, or I want to be skinny. And those are not strong enough whys to get us to take action to fulfill a lifestyle change, even with the motivation and the, you know, the way to self-motivate like we're going to train you here. The visions that drive us to action when I work with people one-on-one tend to be very different, right? I worked with this one woman a while back, and she was, you know, in her later 60s, and she said, Joey, I realize that if I don't keep up my health, I'm not going to be able to play with my grandchildren. I'm not going to be able to keep up with them. I'm not going to be able to take them to the park, and I'm not going to be able to be the grandmother I want to be. And so her vision, her lifestyle vision, short term was, I want to have great fun with my grandchildren and have the energy to do it, and right now I don't. And the short-term vision was, I want to have more and more energy so that in a year, in 3 years, in 5 years, you know, I'm the grandmother I want to be. And then the long-term vision was, hey, I want to be in my 80s and my 90s, and I want to still be active, and I want to still be doing things like water skiing and snow skiing and hiking and walking and things like this, and show that example to my grandchildren of what's possible, you know, as they age, so that they mimic me as a role model, and they make that happen for themselves. And that because you know, her grandchildren were so important to her. That was a vision that was so strong and so powerful, it became a constant motivator to action. And then when we lined up the other skills that we're going to finish off with here in a minute, in terms of aligning emotion with the things that were going to make that happen with her, you know, aligning emotion with the way of eating that would make that possible, aligning the emotion with the exercises, with the physical activities that would make that possible, you know, she knows success, and it's sustainable and it's constant. And so when I look at people and I meet people who are those individuals who are always in great shape, they're in that place because typically they have a why that motivates them, and that why is typically short-term, it's sort of mid-term, and it's long-term, and they've lined up, either knowingly or unknowingly, those emotional connections to doing the things that are going to create that result, those love-based emotions to doing the things that create the result. They're not doing those activities because they have to do it, because they should do it, because they need to do it. They're doing it because they love to do it. People who run constantly, who go to the gym 6 days a week, they're not doing that because it's what they should do. They're doing it because they have learned to love doing it, and they've linked that up for themselves in one way or another. And so let's start looking at how do we make that happen. And so take a moment and ask yourself the question, you know, why am I making a lifestyle change for myself? Short-term vision. Maybe you're doing it for your children. Maybe it gives you access to a certain way of being. And make sure that vision is tied to the benefit and the greatness that it's going to make possible. And part of the vision could be to avoid, quote-unquote, a disaster, but it's a whole lot more fun, and people are more motivated to move toward the things they enjoy doing, more so than sometimes trying to avoid a possible catastrophe. A real catastrophe, they'll take action for. But if it shows up as a possible thing, that's not as motivating as, wow, here's an inspirational vision I can live. And so think about a short-term vision. Why am I up to this? You know, I'm up to this because I'm going to have the energy to hike and to mountain bike and to do the things that my girlfriend and I enjoy doing, my boyfriend and I enjoy doing. I'm doing this because I want to be a great role model for my children and what that'll make possible for them. I'm doing this because what is your vision, right? If you had that body that was in a space of optimal health and well-being, what would it make possible for you short-term? What's the short-term benefit you would know? And then midterm, what would that make possible? And long-term, what would that make possible? And so take a moment and get inside of that for yourself. And how do you know if it's the right vision? You know it's the right vision because you get excited about it inside. You feel passionate about it. You feel enthusiasm around it. You feel joy. You'll feel some love-based expression that will just sort of naturally show up inside just by way of thinking about, you know, living those possibilities and making that vision happen. And so take the next 5, 10, 20 seconds or so and just start to connect to a vision. What's possible? Remember, the vision is not the goal, which is losing weight, looking good in a bathing suit, being admired by other people. It's not those things. It's not getting into a size 2 dress or, you know, growing bigger muscles, so to speak. Those are all goals, and they're fine to strive for. But what's going to make it truly sustainable is the vision. So as a result of creating this body that's in great shape and full of vitality, and I have a ton of energy every day, all day, and, you know, I enjoy being in my body. It feels great to be in my body. What are the things I'm doing, right? The vision is the mountain biking I'm up to, the snow skiing I'm doing, the adventures I'm taking, the vacations that I'm going on. It's the you know, keeping up with my kids and throwing the ball with them and playing basketball with them and doing things that they enjoy. Swimming in the ocean, surfing, you know, whatever those things are for you. Trekking the Himalayas, biking through France, exploring different countries, whatever those things are for you. What's the lifestyle that it makes possible? That's the vision to connect to. Why? Because it stimulates those love-based emotions. And so connect to that vision. Imagine as though it was your life right now. Remember, short-term vision, mid-term, long-term. And now let's go to one of those fear-based aspects. So I'll let you pick, right? Maybe your thing is, wow, you know what? I'm really good about physical exercise. I'm really not so great about the eating part of things. And so pick the food. You work with the food items. Or maybe it's the opposite for you. Maybe it looks like for you, hey, I eat really well, but man, getting myself to get out and go do some things that are active, you know, that I find a challenge. It's a challenge for me to find the time. It's a challenge for me to want to do it. You know, that's a challenge for me. And so, you know, pick which one you're going to work with. So you can work with either the physical activity or you can work with the nutrition side of things, whichever you choose. And so let's begin now. And whether you're working with physical activity or food, go ahead and pick an activity or a food item that if you engaged it and you did more of this thing, it would definitely work to fulfill your vision. It can be any one. It can be one that you already love. It can be one that you don't like so much. Doesn't matter. Just be aware, if I do this thing, it aligns me with the vision. So maybe it's like, hey, if I went to the gym a few times a week, that would align with my vision. If I went for a walk and I did a 30-minute walk every day, that would align with my vision. Or, hey, if I ate a greater amount of vegetables, you know, broccoli and spinach and cabbage and whatever, that would align me with my vision. Whatever it is, drinking more water, drinking, you know, 6 or 8 glasses of water a day, that would align me with my vision. Pick something simple, very focused, specific. Pick the activity now and just be aware of it. Focus on it. And same thing, be aware of how you feel. Maybe a love-based emotion shows up. Maybe a fear-based emotion shows up. Just be aware of how you feel. And so stay focused on that item that aligns you with your vision. And then be aware of how you feel. And then go ahead and check in like you did before. Okay, what memory is there? If it shows up as, hey, this is showing up as a love-based emotion for me, and it's like, wow, I really like to do this, I want to do this, and it aligns with the vision, just continue there. Continue feeling the emotion, appreciate that memory, and just link it up consciously now. Make that connection and that pattern, establish that for yourself consciously. And if it happens to show up for you as, hey, this isn't ideal, go ahead and, let's say it's broccoli, like that example I gave you earlier, and that woman was thinking about the, you know, the being forced by her mother and the anger and all that that came up, you know, but wow, I know it would really serve me to eat more broccoli. Okay, let's say it looks like that. And so connect to the idea of broccoli. Be aware of the feeling of, in that case, it's anger, and maybe even hatred was there a little bit, resentment. And then think back to the memory. And now be aware. Right? A lot of times shifts and changes happen just by way of being aware. Most likely you'll see, wow, I feel that way about it because of that thing that happened in my life. It doesn't make sense. And already it may start to dissipate and dissolve. And then from there, go back to focusing just on the feeling. In this moment I feel, in that case it was angry. And so just acknowledge that. In this moment I feel angry, it's okay. And just be with the emotion. Don't focus on the memory. Don't focus on the broccoli. Just focus on that feeling. In this moment, I feel, and it's perfectly okay. And feel the emotion. Don't think about it. Don't create a story about it. It's simply, in this moment, I feel, and it's okay. And feel the emotion of the anger. And then take a deep breath in through the nose and a complete exhale out the mouth. And once again, a deep inhale through the nose. And then a complete exhale out the mouth, focusing on how the emotion itself feels. And continue breathing until that emotion dissolves, becomes less intense, and eventually dissipates. And just continue the breathing. If the mind starts to go back to that story from the past, bring yourself back to just, in this moment I feel. If it starts going back to the broccoli, bring yourself back to, in this moment I feel. And just feel that emotion dissolving as you breathe deeply, and then you'll find it'll come to a place of almost feeling centered or calm inside. Now connect to your vision. Think about how great it'll be to mountain bike, to hike, to swim, to just feel great every day in your body, and to have a long, healthy life and really access what's possible in life because you feel so great every day. And then smile, have a physical smile on your face and start to create that feeling of joy. And now from there, think about eating the broccoli and feeling joyful, nurturing the body, making all of those things possible in your vision because you're eating that broccoli right now. You know what? You're climbing the Alps, you're skiing, you're snowboarding, you're traveling the world, you know, you're living a long, healthy life with your family and people you care about, and feel what that connection's like, that love is like, and just think about the broccoli right now. And if that other emotion comes up, go back to the vision. Connect to the vision. How do I feel when I connect to the vision? Smile on your face, and now feel the joy, feel the passion, feel the enthusiasm that starts to show up by way of focusing on the vision, and now focus on that emotion itself. Focus on that love-based emotion. In this moment, I feel joy, and just feel the joy, let it expand inside. And same thing, take a deep breath in through the nose, exhale out the mouth, and let the joy expand. You'll find that love-based emotions with that same technique will expand because they're your natural state. Feel that joy, let it expand. Connect to that vision, and now go back to that action item of eating the broccoli and start to see, hey, is my relationship, is the what I'm connecting to broccoli shifting here? Is it changing here? And begin to create that connection to broccoli that's filled with that love and that joy and that possibility of life. And if you do that consistently, your natural response to that will be, oh, I get to eat this thing. Oh, I get to have that. This is wonderful. And you can do the same programming inside of something that wouldn't align with my vision. So maybe there's something that you really like but really doesn't align with your vision. And so go ahead and pick that thing right now, and we'll do the same technique, same process in terms of creating that emotional connection and training ourselves to naturally just not want the thing anymore. It has to do with emotion. You know, for me, I had to use this technique with ice cream, you know, and then for me, when I thought of ice cream, it was just like love and fun. When I thought of ice cream, I thought of love and fun. And the memory that popped in my mind was my father and him and I, we would pour milk. I happen to be very sensitive to dairy, and we would pour milk, you know, into a blender, and we would just put tons of chocolate or vanilla ice cream in there, and we would blend it up, and then we would drink it, and we'd laugh, and we'd play together, and we would do that quite regularly. And so literally, I connected the ice cream, love, and happiness, and fun. And so I realized my body, however, doesn't really like ice cream that much, and so I had to train myself to not want that thing anymore. And so what I would do is I would just pick spaces in my body when I didn't feel well. And so what I would do is, you know, think of your body right now. Think about that thing that maybe doesn't serve you, that you would like to stop engaging or that you don't want to engage as much. And, you know, see if you can close your eyes for a moment and remember a time that you really did not feel good in your body. Maybe a time you had a really big flu or a time that you felt really sick, a time you were really tired, a time you injured yourself, something like this. And see if you can think of a moment of time there. Be aware of how that felt. And now be aware of that feeling, and now just simply think of the ice cream. Think of that feeling. Think about that time you really didn't feel good. Think of the ice cream. And what that'll do is same thing. It'll just start to intentionally connect this sense of not feeling great to ice cream, and then, you know, before long, very quickly, it won't take very much time at all, you'll just not want it anymore. And so, you know, play with these techniques a little bit. Create great feelings inside, and then intentionally focus on the activity or the food item, the action that you're choosing to take, and begin to create this experience within using these strategies and the techniques where it shows up as, oh my gosh, I get to do this. This is going to be so amazing. And then the things that would be really beneficial to maybe stop doing or to cease, go ahead and use the same technique of, oh wow, you know, these times I don't feel well. And then same thing, connect them to the thing that I want to cease, that I want to stop. And as long as it's a conscious action, we're intentionally making those connections, the mind, the unconscious, is going to show up on our behalf very quickly. And then as you notice, just by starting to create these awarenesses, wow, I like ice cream so much because I remember being 5, 6, 7 years old and having this fun with my dad and how incredible that was and how excited he was that we were making this ice cream together in the blender. And just by having the awareness, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, I don't really need ice cream because I have the love of my father and the fun we had together inside with that memory. I don't need the ice cream to access it. And as soon as it becomes an awareness, it already starts to change. And so as a quick review here of the work we did, most important, I'm making a lifestyle change here and create a vision that's inspiring and will ignite an emotion inside that's love-based and will be important enough to us to make the changes that we're talking about here. It all starts with vision. And remember, vision is the life I'm living. It's not the goals that I've attained. Okay, so get strong vision, continue to add to the vision. And remember, the vision is on point if it ignites love-based emotion inside. And so number one, create a strong vision, a compelling vision, a powerful vision, a vision that ignites enthusiasm within you, and connect to that vision once a day. And then second, define an action plan for yourself, right? And start with small things, right? The what creates greatness are small actions consistently taken over time. And the body definitely loves small actions consistently taken over time. And so don't feel like you have to just change your whole world around right away. Just start with a couple of things. You know what? Each day I'm going to have more broccoli. I'm going to eat more of this. I'm going to have more of that. And just start that way and then do the thing. You know what? I'm going to do something physical every day of the week. Something physical I'm going to do every day of the week. And just make one goal, one commitment like that, and then practice, you know, using the strategies we just gave you here to get yourself to take action. And then once you're taking the action and you're doing it effortlessly, then add something else, and then add something else, and then add something else. And you'll see that change will happen much faster than you think. And so number one, define the vision. Number two, define something that you're going to commit to stop doing and practice the strategy we just gave you. And number three, define something that you're going to begin doing more of and make a commitment or whatever that likes, and use the strategy to get yourself to do that thing. Once it becomes effortless and easy, add another thing. And then if you're consistent with the practice, the way we just laid it out for you here, you're going to end up in phenomenal shape before you know it. And you'll find that you'll be able to, you're cultivating and you're flexing the muscle to really motivate yourself. And that ultimately is what's life-changing. Yes, getting in great shape is life-changing. And yes, exercising and eating well, that's going to be life-changing. And you know, you're going to know and gain access to a possibility of life that you wouldn't know if you weren't in great shape. But the ability to be able to motivate yourself to take any action is true power. And so I know I kind of, you know, took you on a little bit of a journey this evening. We gave you a lot of information. We'll go ahead and open the call now to anybody who has any final questions or comments, and then I'll have a final announcement for you guys, and then we'll let you get going to practicing this stuff. And so any question you might have had that came up for you, or just a comment that you'd like to share about the work we did here would be great. Very good. So as we move forward now, you know, just kind of take these action items and apply them. The call is going to be recorded, so you'll gain access to it. You can listen to it again and again and put these principles to action. And Heidi has a couple of invitations for you if you guys would like to take some next steps. And thank you so very much for your time. Have a beautiful rest of your night, and we will look forward to connecting with you all very soon.